From the sandbox, you pluck one particularly small but lustrous pearl. It is dark, but there's something in the center, a bloom of red, a drop of flame or blood, perhaps. You rest the pearl on your hand, and, sitting in a meditative position, you prepare to slide inside, into memories of another time, another place, maybe even another world. Gazing down into it, you feel a sensation of purpose. Whatever mind you're about to climb inside knew precisely what it had to do and what responsibility was in front of it. Sliding down, everything around you darkening away, leaving just the black, lustrous shine of the pearl, and an anticipation of pleasure. Hard to know what, you feel the sense of cool air touching your body, but it's refreshing. You get the sense that this mind, this body, this memory has been walking for a while, but that shortly its journey will take a pleasant, interesting, and unexpected turn. That's all the foresight you get before you're striding along, somewhere south of warm towns, warm hearths, and of this particular mind's home. Somewhere interesting, but changeless. Somewhere familiar, but there's still a lurking awareness that you should be alert, should be ready for whatever may come. As you walk, gradually, along a firm path to the south, south of everything else, just before one reaches the sunless lands on the far side of the swamps, there's a place that is a bit wilder, a bit outside it all. The spawn do roam there, creatures forged from darkness, bleeding their way into the land, but just as quickly natural predators or the guardians of this place will tend to push them back a little. It's rare that they wander in there and wander out again. And you, in need of a little solitude, on patrol, searching for said errant darkspawn, you wander. You feel your armor tight around your body, reassuring, your arms strewn about you, your hands loose at your sides, your arms pumping as you move swiftly as you can along your patrol route. But in a way, there's some leisure to it. You'd only be required to run off and alert someone if you did see anything, dispatch what you could if you must. But as you wander along the paths and the forged trails on the border of the swamp, you see the strangest thing. On a stump by the edge of the swamp, next to the dry, firm path, is a cake. It's beautiful. There's white icing on top, 3 fresh strawberries. No doubt some villager left it for you. But they don't come southeast like this, out to here. In fact, you're patrolling on the edge of... but it's a cake. Your stomach, dealing with hardtack field rations for so long, sends you walking over toward it. You take in a moment to consider. You can't see any way how cake could be wrong. You pick it up, one of the slices is pre-sliced, bring it to your mouth. Bite in, rich raspberry filling, accompanying the strawberries on top, the white sugar icing, and a molasses or caramel-based insert to the batter. There's something just wonderful about this relatively dense, but still deliciously sweet cake. You swallow, you finish the whole piece, you reach out for another. Strangely, your hand misses. You yawn, your eyes closing a little slowly. You sit down by the edge of the stump, still reaching for a second slice of cake. You feel your body heavy. You close your eyes for a long blink, but unlike a blink, they fail to open at the end. You lick your lips, lick the corners of your mouth, tasting delicious, swallowing deeply, feeling sweetness on your tongue and in your limbs, heavy in your head, too, a pleasant spreading sensation, almost like there are words humming nearby, a woman's voice, strong arms lifting you, a sensation of motion moving you toward something, somewhere, but the awareness of the heavy pleasure in your limbs that you haven't been sleeping too well overnight, and wherever you're resting now, although it is mobile, it is very soft, carried away, slow, and drifting, sensuous throughout your entire body. It's a good feeling, and that sweet cake was worth it, worth anything, worth whatever awaits you now. At least the hands that touched you were gentle, if firm, and it was certainly no darkspawn or creature from the waste, or so you think. Carried away, drifting away, to wherever she might take you, the heaviness of, a full meal, although it was only one slice, settling in your stomach. Yes, that's what this nap resembles. The kind of rest you might have gotten in bygone days before you were tasked with scouting out here, when there was full bellies, warm food, and a soft bed instead of hard tack and a tent floor, pitched somewhere in the wild to stage your next day's patrols. You swallow. Sweetness still on your tongue, even though the cake is long gone. And then you drift truly off, awaking to who knows what later on. Sensation gradually returns to you, and the feeling in your limbs, the feeling in your head that you might will yourself to move. You try opening your eyes. That works. Above you is the roof of some walled-in space. It must be a hut. You do see dirt floor out of the corner of your eye, but everything is well scrubbed or swept. Overhead is hanging groups, bunches of herbs. You see some garlic in the corner, but also medicinal herbs among the culinary. There's a bubbling pot over a fire, in a fireplace that is laid of stone and brick. So this is a more permanent emplacement. You move to get up off the padded table you were laying on. It's not quite a bed. More reminds you of a physician's work surface or the patient beds back at camp. But you notice you're tied to it. Your arms are lashed down, and your clothing seems to have gone somewhere at some point. So you try a little harder. But strong though you might normally be, whatever was in that cake is still in your limbs. You mentally reevaluate, was it worth it, really? While making no sound aloud. Yeah, it was worth it, you decide. And then you keep trying to move. I wouldn't do that if I were you. A woman's voice from the corner of the room, behind you, where you can't quite see her. There's a footstep, another. And then a long-fingered, pale hand comes down and runs from your chin up to your scalp, her fingernails brushing against you. Leaning over you, you see a mischievous grin on the face of a pale woman. She has short dark hair pulled up into some kind of tie or loop at the top back of her head. It looks like it might be feathers, but I guess they could be tufts of hair, you think, as you inspect her. Her lips are full. Her eyes seem to flash yellow, but that might be the firelight. Her overall expression is one of amusement. Seen everything you'd like to see, I should think not. She walks around, so you can get a better look at her. Her very revealing top is little more than a few thin scarves or lengths of fabric interwoven, tied into a long loop of material that drapes unconcealed stomach underneath and behind all the clothing. Her breasts are massive. She turns inside profile. You get a look. Her other features are curvy and interesting as well. She's wearing a short leather skirt currently, made up of many different leathers stitched together. But the look she's giving you and the staff. You now see she's leaning against the bench nearby. Tell you she may have a little bit more in her mind than just trying to ransom you back, or keeping you captive, or dumping you in the swamp. There's a definite intelligence to the gaze, a definite intention. So when she leans over and continues running her hand down your body from your face down toward your chest, as she looks over you, you stay quiet and you listen. She smirks approvingly. I need a little something from you. You look around, looking for your armor, your possessions, for your pouch, for your rations, your supplies. She shakes her head when she sees you gazing about. No, I've already taken those, and you may get them back at the end, even. I need something that is inside of you. You renew your struggles, but a surprisingly strong hand presses your chest, and the strength you've been robbed of after eating what you now suspect may have been a very slightly poisoned cake. Well, the robbing of strength remains. She smiles and laughs a little, looking at you, with eyes that don't have any noticeable malign intention. Indeed, her hands slide down to your hips. Not inside like that, though truth be, I'll take a tiny bit of blood. Nothing compared to what the vampires out there in the swamp might have done to you if you had lain where you were after eating my cake. Ah, okay. You've worked it out. You're really not too bright, are you? She doesn't say it accusatorily, it's just an observation, and you find yourself powerless to challenge it. I confess, I was watching. I saw you going for a second slice, even after it must have been obvious that you were poisoned. She seems to be questioning, but you're really happy that you didn't tell her that you only just realized the first slice was poisoned and that you weren't just taking a nap. She slides one hand down, pulls at some strap on her skirt, some buckle. It slides away, revealing beneath loose-fitting, soft, almost silky fabric. She pulls that away too, underwear dropping, a tied strap of some sort sliding out of the way, and her upper body revealed as well. Her breasts are magnificent. She steps to the padded table you're on, slides onto it nimble. You watch, she turns, making sure to almost pirouette over your body, giving you a good look of her backside, her wet, dripping pussy as well. She's already aroused. This would not be the first time I've taken someone from the wilds back here, but the first time I've been daring enough to obtain this particular ingredient with intent to use it. And yes, a few drops of blood, it's okay. I shall be... Well, I shall not lie to you in any event. Gentle isn't the right description. I shall be thorough. She leans down, bringing her mouth into contact with your pussy. You wonder how she's going to collect your juices as she fastens onto your clit and does not relent or let go. The acid tongue she was employing to tease you is now quite occupied. It flicks across the very furthest tip of the bump, rubbing back and forth, applying enough pressure to move your clit around in the already hot vacuum of her mouth. Her pussy slides down insistently, pressed against your face. You don't know what part of the ritual that is, but when she begins to grind, you're more than happy to dig your tongue in while white sparks are traveling behind your eyes. She licks more deeply, reaches around, grabs your ass, and pulls you against her mouth. That's when you hear the faint clink of a bottle from nearby being grabbed, one of her hands. She's collecting your juices, smearing them from inside of your pussy all over the outer lips as well, and dribbling them into a vial. She's rubbing her tongue over your clit, then diving it inside. She doesn't seem to mind if she laps up some of your sexual secretions as well. She's gripping your ass with one hand, holding the vial with the other, pushing her face between your legs. Her hot breath travels down. She's only focusing on your clit because she's got that glass in place to collect your juices and couldn't get fingers inside you right now anyway. But as you hear yourself wetly squelching, she slides her tongue a little further. It's really quite long, past your clit, and her breath travels over your slit while she pushes the tongue inside, pushes her face against you, pushes you down. She's still weighing you down with that considerable pressure and force from before. You lick her pussy, trying, just for your own experimentation, to distract her, running along the lip. She tastes faintly sweet, maybe it has something to do with her diet. Licking, lapping deeply, a tang and sweetness across your tongue. You tease her clit in turn, fastening on it, and whenever she executes one of those expert maneuvers that makes your eyes roll back and your whole body almost twitch from its binds, you lick in a similar pattern. She has the benefit of her hand on your ass, massaging, gripping. But you can press your face more deeply into her because you're coming up from below, and she is grinding unconsciously, aiding your movements in a way that you would find it impossible to grind with her pinning you with your pussy beneath her. She licks more deeply, striking her tongue as far into your slit now. She's moved the vial away. Maybe she has enough juices already. She pushes, and her tongue does go deep. Her chin, her lower lip are pushing against the top part of your pussy, rubbing on your clit. She's plunging. Her tongue slides in and out. It feels like inches of it. Long, firm licks inside. Your walls are already twitching, and in no small part because her pussy's pressed against your face. You smell her, taste her, feel her thighs on either side of you, that pale, beautiful expanse of skin you can see. She's grinding down. Her breathing's quickening in that flat, taut stomach you saw before when she pirouetted over you, the way that her breasts rub against you just above your pussy, just above and against the skin above it and below your stomach, her flat, taut stomach in view. Her nipples are poking into you. They're quite hard, and her breathing is quick, you can tell from looking at her and from the way it's washing over your sex every time. She tries to steady herself, tries to take a deep breath, but now her hips grinding no longer seems like a deliberate attempt to seek pleasure, but like some animalistic instinctive move. Everything about her is caught in the lust, and she's licking your pussy like she's never tasted anything so delicious. She has set aside that vial from before on a nearby table, and you can see your fluids embarrassingly collected in it. If you look over there, through the small gap of light, you can see just past one of the thighs around your head. And now she's using both hands to grab your ass, pull you against her face, yes, like it's delicious, like she loves to dig in and lick your pussy deep. Though this has left your clit relatively untouched, only the grinding of her face into you is really making it get any stimulation at all, but it's like she's reading your mind. Her tongue slips along your folds up and finds it. She rakes her nails down your legs, pulling them up, and then encouraging you to squeeze them tight around her head. She does the same, gripping you there. There's no more looking around the room or looking past her, just her pussy filling all your vision while she lays as low down to you as she can get. And she's gripping, scratching. You feel her nails dig in, a sharp, white-hot feeling in your head. Your eyes are rolling back, though, from the way she's sucking your clit again. Almost in consolation, you know she dug deep. Because she reaches over, you hear her clattering. She must be preserving the few drops of blood, but it's still through the stings, through the welts. Feels incredible. She's lapping away at your clit, sucking on it, keeping you pinned. In fact, her body is spread out and she's pressing into some significant joints with her knees, with her hips, pushing you down, keeping your shoulders pinned, gripping her body along yours. She's heavy and she's strong, and on top of that, the way that she's sucking on your clit now has removed all strength from you anyway. Pushing against your bonds is the last thing on your mind, but your legs and arms are nonetheless tensing up and pressing on them, making you very aware of her, aware of the way she's sucking your clit, sucking tight, hot, constant, an inevitable pleasure, and you, gagged as you are with her pussy pressed against your face, can only lick deeply in protest, only suck on her clit in answer, forcing as intense a sensation as possible. A sound a bit like a growl, a bit like a sigh, washes through the room while she opens her mouth and stops vacuum sealing your clit, but you don't let hers go as easily. She starts to twitch, and it is a full body twitch that begins between her legs where you are working as she is above you, the two of you 6 to 9-ing, but her riding your face then, riding your tongue. You make it flat and broad and press it wet against her clit while she grinds down unconsciously. She might be trying to get away from the stimulation if it weren't for the orgasmic pressure taking all the power out of her. She is heavy. She is clinging to you. She is tight and hot against you, and now her juices are on your tongue, sweet, and she's coming, that shiver that began between her legs, moving up through a stomach that is now only clenched taut, up past breasts where the nipples are so tightly firm with arousal or cold, but you know it's arousal. They're pushing into your skin, and her tongue is hanging slack across your clit. Your juices are dribbled on her face. You can tell because she rubs her face against your thighs almost affectionately, almost blankly, pushing her pussy down over your face and grinding deep. The feeling that's filling her is making her shudder. It's almost moving the table, but not quite. It must be anchored down. And she rides and rides and moans and licks at you. And when she pulls her sex away, a few droplets fall on you, and she just pants, breathing deeply, on hands and knees above your body, her slit in plain view, smeared with your saliva and her juices. And she's staring at your pussy. You know, because her head's turned down, her bangs falling, you can see, free from her face, all of her just heaving with sighs and moans and twitches that lead her knees and legs to tense on either side of your head and then relax again. The aftershock, the afterglow, she somehow turns on the table and then just collapses atop you with full weight again. The heat beating off her pussy washes over yours. She lines them up, but she's really just gripping your shoulders, rubbing her face against the side of your head, biting your ear lightly on the lobe. And then she sits up. A single motion. She's still twitching, her breasts heaving, her eyes aflame with that yellow light from before. And she leans back on the table, expertly twines one leg under one of your bound thighs, the other over top, brings her pussy, covered with your saliva and her juices, into contact with your own, perfectly scissoring, leaning back on her hands, her breasts in plain sight. The occasional post-orgasmic twitches or moan or blanking of her vision is clearly visible and clearly arousing to you. But then she starts to grind, to really grind, a level of force. You're lucky the table's anchored. You're almost being pushed around. And somehow her clit, with delicate precision, hits against yours, you know, because both of you groan at the same time and are awash in the feeling. Your lips grind together, and there's enough force in what she's doing to push the feeling right through to the clit structure that's behind the little nub that's showing. She's rocking the whole deep iceberg. Those vibrations are going through, and as she moves more and more, her face moves into an expression of blank, lustful pleasure. It becomes slightly slack, and you know yours looks the same. Grunting, grinding, moaning. She's long since gathered her ingredients. This can't be about that. This is about pleasure. About the heat forming between the two of you, and when she rolls her hips, you roll with it. Your eyes, your brain, your tongue to the roof of your mouth. She's pushing sensation into you in a way that moves in circles one moment and side to side the next. And there's all the incidental contact, your butts pushing against each other. You can see her breasts shaking because she's putting so much force in the way her shoulders, her body. She's just thrusting through her to push her pussy against yours. The heat, the friction, and the wetness that keeps you lubed up. Your thighs are sticking together. Her leg under yours is supporting, but she also raises it now and then to force you to close your legs a little more, which makes you feel it from your pussy even harder as the hot confine of the point of contact, the point of rubbing your thighs, your pussies together, starts to make you both ascend. If you hadn't come before her, she hadn't come before, or some combination of action had not preceded, this wouldn't be quite so good. good, but now it's there. The delicious contact, the mingling of your juices, the mixture of heat between you, the whole room smelling like sex, her body sticking to yours, skin sticking, one to the other, both of you lost in it, your eyes meet, rolling, roiling, moving, and she just shows she intends to keep moving, keep rolling into you, keep bringing the two of you together and to pleasure for as long as she can, laying there bound as you are. You have the ability to try to move your arms, try to move your legs, but in so doing you intensify the pleasure in your core while doing nothing for your position, and the desire to reach out and grab her breasts or grip her hips and help with the whole maneuver of scissoring is massively overwhelming, overwhelming enough to make you whimper with desire to be freed only so you can grab her for more pleasure. Thoughts of escape are vanishingly small in contrast, and gone entirely when she raises herself up a little above you and starts grinding down with gravity, bringing her pussy against your clit. She's disregarding her own pleasure and just moving her lips, her wet lips and her thighs against you, so it's like you were grinding on something, but you're being ground down instead beneath her, under her. As she pushes you down, you slide further into the padded surface you're on. She's pushing you down, applying more pressure, exerting over you, her muscled thighs pumping, working, pushing down. It's like thrusts, it's like shockwaves she's sending into your body. With the movement of her pussy against you, she's asserting that you are going to come. You are going to helplessly ridden, helplessly pinned, come from the pressure of her pussy pushing down on you, of her body above you, of all the pleasure built till now in the saliva and juices between you grinding wetly, stickily across your clit extending from your body. But there's a deeper structure that spiderwebs all around that goes out through you with nerve-ending flashes, and it's that she's pushing against, a deep gyration of her hips instead of a momentary pinpoint pressure, and that gyration's enough to send the whirlpools of feeling into your body. With her hips rolling, her juices are trickling down onto you as she is coming at you on that angle from above. The strength it must take to rise up like that and push down while keeping you pinned, keeping you interlocked and interlaced, precisely targeting her pussy. Either she has some practice or serious motivation. She grinds and sends the pleasure into you, intent on helping you to come. Her pussy is twitching, you can tell, but she came before hard, so it's still in the aftermath, or maybe it's starting anew. There's convulsions and contractions, because she pushes right against you, and instead of grinding, instead of rising, instead of falling, she just lets you feel how her body is twitching, how her inner thighs are shivering, and the heat beating off of you is touching her, but the reprieve of just resting against you is short-lived, because she starts riding. Her slit pressed right against yours, she mounts from above enough that her pussy is riding your clit, and only your clit from above, pushing down hard, applying pressure, moving her leg between your legs, letting you squeeze and grind on it. She reaches down and unties the leg binds, and all you do with your sudden ability to move is grip them around her and start bucking your hips to grind your wet sex on her, grinding on her leg, humping her leg. You can feel yourself leaving your juices behind. Her pussy's grinding on you as well, and so you raise your knee a little, and the two of you each rub on one another, getting nearer and nearer to a point beyond which there is no return, where the white hot space between your eyes in the back of your head, all of your brain lights up. Come, come for me. Encouragement from above you in a voice more sweet than before, more encouraging than before. She's grinding on you, and you feel her juices just flood over your leg, wet, squeezing, sticking, her thighs so hot around it. She moans and then pulls your leg out of the way, slides down your body. The sudden absence of her pressure, her friction is felt, but then she dives two fingers inside your pussy, starts fucking as rapidly as possible, fingering you. Her tongue is on your clit, sucking, sucking, until abandon, oblivion, blankness, emptiness fill your head, and you're coming the blank, hot, convulsing way that makes the whole table pump up and down. You're rocking against her. Your legs are untied so you can grip them around her head, hook your knees behind her shoulders, and then just pull her down against you with your thighs alone locking her in place. Her fingers move quicker, faster than you thought possible, the force of it almost pushing you across the table. Her tongue digs on your clit, rubbing down on it with a broad, flat surface, then beginning to push it in circles, gyrations like before. You try to squirm your hips away. The sensation's too intense and it's automatic. You really want more, and so when she manages to hold you in place, finger you more deeply with two fingers pushing and then curving toward the front wall, and really go to town on your clit, you're grateful. Staring up at the roof of the cottage because you don't have the strength to tilt your neck and really get a good look at her. Staring up at your vision wavering or your eyes closing as she fingers deep and hard and her tongue really moves on you, really grinds your clit down. Hot, she's pushing something on the front wall of your pussy and everything is going white and blank. You couldn't open your eyes to see because opening them will just reveal blank, swimming lights, stars, pleasure, pleasure, heat. And when the convulsion comes, and your whole body is caught in it, and you are there, blank, soundlessly opening your mouth, mouthing, drooling, staring, your pussy squeezing, and she holding you, steady, comforting, but forceful and direct. It is with a mixture of tingling, shivering, trepidation, and dread that you hear her say, "Well, that's the first event. Just four more. Four other vials, and then we can negotiate letting you go. But first, clean me up." And she's climbing back on the table again, positioning herself over your face to wash off your juices and hers with your tongue. When you regain the ability to do anything with it but drool, mouth meaningless words, and twitch your thighs left and right, you wish your legs were bound again, you wouldn't be bucking quite so convulsively, as your stomach squeezes and your brain whites out. The image of her pussy in your head, but your eyes finding it hard to focus. Still, when eventually she reaches down and lightly slaps your cheek, your tongue knows what to do.